truth.
Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the puppet show of free speech, because it just is. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send the badly needed fundage, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Phone it into 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. This is Monday morning. Oh my God, is it Monday morning? So we have Mark Collett here. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hello, Patrick. It's good to be here, but I was expecting for a better intro than that. I thought your intro was weak. My intro this week would have been, this is the extensive underground tunnel network of free speech. That's what mine would have been. I feel you missed out this time.
Okay, I will say I'm worried about them tunneling into my house, and so I started keeping
Yeah. Well, you never know what's going to happen now, do you?
I'm keeping alligators in my basement, okay, just in case.
Yeah, this is the extensive tunnel network of free speech, where we bring you only the best and most secure speech that we need to protect from any group that may be tunneling underneath us as we speak.
Okay, well, we're not going to spend the whole show talking about it, but while we're on this subject, what the hell about these tunnels, huh?
Well, I've got a video out about it on my BitChute and Odyssey, and I discussed it extensively with David Duke on his show the other day. So, I mean, I've done this to death by now, but it is one of those things that I do find quite hilarious because, you know, obviously Jews don't want to be seen in any way as shifty or odd or strange, and you know, everything's anti-Semitic, but then all of a sudden out of nowhere, you know, you've got a Hasidic Jew just tunneling out of a grate in New York City before fleeing into the night. And I think the memes almost create themselves at this point. You're thinking, what did I just see? But I do find this, in all seriousness, you know, quite funny, because we are now living in a world where, you know, their behavior and their actions are scrutinized more and more and more, especially with what's going on in Gaza. And this couldn't have come really at a better time. And I think the thing that gets me with this is fundamentally what you're actually seeing here. It is the kind of news that we couldn't have memed into reality, even if we'd have wanted to. So, you know, when you and I first met and we first started doing shows together, if you and I had predicted that in the year 2024, you know, a Hasidic Jew would have been caught escaping from an underground tunnel system into the New York night, and the whole world would be talking about what was going on in these tunnels, I think both of us would have been like, yeah, that, you know, that's a bit far-fetched, that is. You know, I'm not really sure that prediction's going to come true, but here we are, and that is the sort of the world that we're living in. We are living in a world where this is actually all happening in real time. And if this was sort of a cartoon in sort of, you know, third right propaganda piece, people would have been like, oh, I think they've taken it a little bit too far there. But this is what we're witnessing. And the thing is, we don't really know what was going on in those tunnels. And obviously I've done a video on this, but I think the issue is people do have a right to know. And the fact that the New York authorities were so quick to seal up these tunnels, it is damning in itself. You know, it seems very odd that something like this was going on, and even more odd that whatever was going on has been absolutely covered up in quick time. And I do find that very interesting and very, very, you know, illuminating. But I don't know what your take is on this, Patrick.
Honestly, I don't know. It's very, very strange. And that they would want to seal it up by just pouring concrete into it, which pretty much destroys any evidence. It's all strange. So maybe it was extremely nefarious. Maybe it's just, as they say, there's like these Israelis who wanted to build a clubhouse, like Israeli kids who wanted their kind of their own clubhouse, and they hired a bunch of illegal aliens to dig this. Whatever. I don't know. I will say I do feel very vindicated as somebody who has been a shill for specifically Chabad Lubavitch and saying good luck with your mission, being that their mission is to recruit all these other Jews into wearing funny clothes. Well, wearing awesome clothes, very fashionable clothes. I feel completely vindicated because, you know, you look at Jewish power starts this giant war in Russia, with Russia, in Ukraine. And anybody who can will say the neocons are doing this. They bend over backwards to avoid saying it was Jews, right? When, you know, if you got, here's an example, Elena Kagan, this is from 12, 13 years ago, but she's head of Harvard Law School. She hires a bunch of Jews as law professors. When she gets found out, they call it white privilege. She's being white. She's exercising white privilege. Okay. I have said good luck to the Chabad Lubavitchers in recruiting these Jews and getting them to wear the fashionable clothes and the really sharp hats. So people would bend over backwards and say, this is teens, this is a youth, but they can't because they're wearing uniforms. They're wearing these clothing that only Jews wear. There's no way of avoiding that this is a Jewish thing. And it's weird. And I don't even know what's going on there, but whatever's going on there is some weird Jewish thing. And I feel completely vindicated in my support for Chabad Lubavitch. If Zelensky was wearing these clothes instead of his tight green T-shirt, it would be a lot easier for people to understand that the Ukraine war is a Jewish project. You know, if Victoria Nuland was wearing if she were Chabad Lubavitch, she'd be back home pumping out like 11 children. Which wouldn't be a good thing. The support for Chabad Lubavitch is a short term thing because over the long run they produce so many babies they'll overrun us. But the other thing is, and I think I feel vindicated here too. Chabad Lubavitch does tend to attract lower IQ Jews. Right? They're the ones who are attracted to this. They're not the brains of the organization. I can guarantee you that. They are the gonads. They are the reproductive organs of the Jewish collective body. They're not the brains. They're not that bright. They're not running anything. They do get a lot of welfare. They're able to get a lot of support from the rest of the Jewish community, and they leverage their position within the Jewish community, get support on, you know, welfare, whatever else. But they're not the brains, obviously. And but what do you think was actually going on in the tunnels? I mean, you've got the most damning evidence there is you've got them carrying out a stained mattress, and also there was like a baby's high chair in one of the videos. So what do you think was going on in there?
Well, I'll be honest, I don't know. I want to know, but I don't know, and that's the problem. Now, the other problem is this all seems to have been wrapped up, you know, in quick time. So this seems to have been something that they wrapped up extremely quickly. That, you know, nobody wanted this to go on any longer than it was. You know, Chabad Lubavitch, they didn't want it to go on any longer. The authorities didn't want it to go on any longer. Everybody wanted this wrapped up quickly. You know, put a bow on it, wrap it up. Screw this. This is attracting too much attention. So who knows what was going on down there? Now, I will say this. I don't know what's going down under there. But I'm going to say this. If this was the Catholic Church, and they had, you know, tunnels under religious buildings, people would be saying, were they abusing little boys down there? That would have been said 110%. People would have accused them of abusing boys down there. If this had been a nationalist group that had had a big building, and that building had tunnels underneath it, people would have been saying they were preparing for a race war. You know, what was going on down there? They would have been preparing for the race war. If this was Muslims, people would have been saying, well, you know, are they grooming? Are they preparing for, you know, is this a grooming operation? Are they preparing for a terrorist attack? And all of these things would have been circulated around different ethnic groups or different religious groups. But because this is Jews, this was very, very quickly wrapped up. This was very, very quickly wrapped up. And any suggestion that it was anything other than some wacky planning dispute or, you know, insular issue between two different Jewish sects was, you know, waved away very, very rapidly. And it was amazing to see the full force of the media and the establishment, and lots of specifically quote unquote right wing shills coming out and being like, we've got to run defense for these people. You know, we have to run a full on defense for these people because something's going on down there, but we sure as hell don't want anybody to know. And I think that's the interesting thing here. As I said, if this had been any other racial group, we would have genuinely never heard the end of it. You know, it would have been something that would have dragged on for a long period of time. You know, people would have demanded answers. And as I said, if it had been any of these other groups that I've just mentioned, you know, accusations based along the lines of the accusations, you know, I sort of floated, would have been, you know, put about. They'd have been put about on Twitter. They'd have been put about probably in the mainstream media, and lots of questions would have been asked. But as I said, because this is Jews, that's not the case. Because this is Jews, this was covered up pretty quickly. So I don't know what was going on down there. I'm sure some people do. I'm sure that members of Chabad Lubavitch know what was going on under there. I'm sure that certain people within the establishment will know what was going on under there. But we, the people, will likely never know what was going on under there. And that's because that's how they want it. That's the way they want things. And I've got to say this as well. Even if it was a planning dispute, which I don't think it was just a planning dispute, even if it was just a planning dispute, you would have still gone down there to see how extensive the tunnels were. You wouldn't have just poured the concrete. You know, it wouldn't have been just like, open them up and pour some concrete. I mean, the fact is, you'd have to go down there to map out how big they were and to make sure no one was in there before you poured the concrete. You'd have to understand, you know, if for nothing else, to understand how much concrete you needed before you poured the concrete. All of these questions would have had to have been answered. What's more, you would need to go down there to understand what they were tunneling under, if they'd caused any structural damage to other buildings. There's so many things that would need to be addressed. So when I saw that, you know, the New York City authorities were just, hey, let's get this concrete poured, it doesn't matter, we just need this filling in, that to me was almost a confirmation that something is up. Because if nothing was up, and this was just, as they've claimed, some innocent planning dispute and different factions, you know, trying to expand a synagogue, you know, to sort of get one over on a different faction. If that's all it was, then why wouldn't they send people in? Why wouldn't they make it public? Why wouldn't they spend a couple of days mapping out what had gone on down there and just say, hey, look, these tunnels, you know, were in total, it was, you know, 200 feet. They stretched in this direction, they stretched in that direction. And because of that, we're going to have to check the foundations of this building and that building. And we've worked out that, you know, the average size of a tunnel is this, the length of the tunnel is that. So we're going to need this much concrete. And we might, you know, because concrete is the price it is, and you use it in this certain way, we'll add 20% to make sure we've got it all, and then we'll begin pumping from these locations. All these things are just really the logistics of an operation like that. But everything I'm saying now was not done. Everything I'm saying was just, you know, was just not the way they've approached this, which makes me far, far more suspicious of what was going on than I would have been if they'd have approached it as if it were a planning dispute. If it was a planning dispute, it would have been dealt with in an above board manner. It wasn't. And the other thing that, it didn't shock me, but it did raise my eyebrows, and I put this in my video, is, let's face it, American police officers are not known for showing restraint. Now, since being a young lad, I have watched, shows on, British television, which have shown American police officers making arrests. And these shows do paint the picture of American cops being hot-headed. You know, they do chase people in their cars. I mean, here in the UK, often police chases are abandoned because they're a threat to the public. Now, I've seen police chases in America that have resulted in multi-car pileups where literally innocent people have died because the American police were just like, we are not letting this person get away, and we're going to chase them down no matter what the cost. I've also seen American police officers pull their guns, mace people, pin people to the ground. You know, they're not known for restraint. Yet here you have a group of rowdy Hasidic Jews hurling objects, turning over tables, screaming abuse, charging at the police officers, and the police officers are acting as if all of this, is totally normal, it's totally acceptable. And I looked at that and thought to myself, that in itself is indicative that something's up. Because let's face it, no other group of people, no other ethnic group would be treated with kid gloves like that by the American police. Simply wouldn't. But because they are Jews, because they are, they have that special privilege card, they get treated differently.
Well, indeed. Now, Brother Nathaniel, who is a former Orthodox Jew, he grew up as an Orthodox Jew, and he's pretty hardcore on the Jews and says they're all evil. He's pretty hardcore on them. He's saying, well, yeah, this actually isn't much of a big deal. So I really don't know. And maybe we'll never find out. It was interesting. And, the ADL, they publish this list of anti-Semitic symbols and words and tropes and whatever. They publish a list. And over the past few weeks, they've had some interesting additions to it. One is a cement truck. One is a fire extinguisher. That's anti-Semitic. What else did they add? They added something else that was kind of odd. I can't quite remember what it was. I don't know. Good luck. But at any rate, we weren't going to talk the whole show about this. It's very odd. Maybe we're going to find out a little bit more. Everything you said is very legitimate, and hopefully we'll find out more at some point. But the thing is, if we don't find out more, a lot of people have looked at this, and a lot of people are assuming that something very nefarious was going on. And it could backfire if they just seal up these tunnels and we never find out what was going on. A lot of people are going to assume the worst. The worst. It's not a good look for them. But I do want to shift over, if we're done talking about this, I want to shift over to Gonzalo Lira.
Yeah, this is a really interesting story, and it's something I want to speak about as well. So when we were talking before the show, we mentioned this was something we were going to cover. And I actually know this guy. I actually know this guy. I've streamed with him. So... Yeah, I've actually streamed with him. He used to go by the name Coach Red Pill back in sort of around 2016. And when I did This Week on the Alt-Right with Tara McCarthy, Coach Red Pill, Gonzalo Lira, as Coach Red Pill, which was his name at the time.
¶¶ Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Back in sort of around 2016, when I did This Week on the Alt-Right with Tara McCarthy, Coach Redpill, you know, Gonzalo Lira, as Coach Redpill, which was his name at the time, Coach Redpill, because he sort of did this kind of like... I feel bad saying this now because like, the guy's dead and I don't want to be sort of rubbishing him. But I suppose I'm going to just have to be honest. He had this sort of cringeworthy sort of persona as kind of a pickup artist and sort of Lothario that he kind of acted out on shows where he would give young people advice, young men on advice on how they could get women. Now, I don't know whether he was a big hit with the ladies. He didn't look like he was a big hit with the ladies. I suppose I shouldn't be saying that. He's dead now, isn't he? But
apparently he had a wife and two kids in Ukraine.
Well, this is the thing. But anyway, he went by the name Coach Redpill, and he gave sort of, you know, like based sort of right-wing kind of dating advice. And, you know, he was at the time, he did the, you know, the e-celeb thing. He was on a number of different shows, and he came on This Week on the Alt-Right when myself and Tara McCarthy were running the show. And he was somebody that, you know, people, a sizable portion of the population quite liked, or portion of our audience, should I say, quite liked. And then he kind of disappeared. You know, Gonzalo kind of disappeared, or Coach Redpill kind of disappeared from the sort of, you know, online right-wing sort of e-celeb scene. And he sort of reinvented himself then as this independent journalist, Gonzalo Lira. So when people were talking about Gonzalo Lira, I was like, is that Coach Red Pill? And yeah, it was. And obviously he was in the Ukraine. He was talking about issues pertaining to the war there. But sadly, or interestingly and sadly, he's now passed away, or he's dead, murdered, presumably, by the Ukrainian regime, or goons acting on behalf of the Ukrainian regime. And you know, that's obviously very sad for, you know, his family. I believe his father has confirmed, confirmed that this is in fact correct. But yeah, it's obviously tragic for the family. But I don't know if you want to say a little bit about how he got into this interesting situation.
Oh, go right ahead. You still there?
Yeah. I was waiting for you to tell us how he got into this situation.
Oh, well, okay. So he was living in the city of Kharkov, which is it is a predominantly Russian city in Ukraine. Historically, it's a Russian city. It's, I believe, the second largest city in Ukraine. He was living there. I said with a wife and two kids. He got married. He had two kids. I don't know if he had since divorced or whatnot. And according, Andrew Anglin says that his two kids had left the country, but Gonzalo Lira's father says that they were there, that they were not able to leave the country, and that Gonzalo did not leave Ukraine because he wanted to be with his kids. I don't know. But so he was living there. The war broke out, and then he started streaming commentary from his apartment. And he wasn't going out into the streets. He wasn't talking about military positions or whatnot. But what he was doing was being very, very critical of both the Ukrainian government for engaging in the war and of the American government. In fact, he sounded an awful lot like me, in particular in his portrayal of Victoria Nuland as being the chief, I would say mastermind, but it's such a stupid idea that do stupid ideas have masterminds? I don't know. But as being the key person planning the war, that was his position. It's been my position too. And
stupid plans have what are known as architects.
Okay, architect. Well,
architects of their own demise. That's generally how it's billed, I believe.
So, and then he in March of 2022, he made this video where he spoke about Victoria Nuland specifically. Why was she so motivated against Russia? And he pointed out that her grandfather, whose name was Noodleman, Noodle, I guess, is Yiddish for needle, and so Noodleman is kind of like tailor or something. But anyway, her grandfather was born in the Russian Empire, in the Ukraine section of the Russian Empire, and wound up immigrating to the United States because of anti-Semitism or whatever, because of pogroms. And so he had a chip on his shoulder. He also apparently was rather mentally ill and committed suicide, but not before he had started a family. So Victoria Nuland's father grew up in this household with a household led by somebody who was having mental problems and committed suicide. And I'm sure this type of thing echoes down through the generations. So Victoria Nuland.
Ground floor perfumery, stationery and leather goods, wigs and haberdashery, kitchenware and food.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
With some a household led by somebody who was having mental problems and committed suicide. And I'm sure this type of thing echoes down through the generations. So Victoria Nuland grew up with, according to Coach Redpill, with a lot of resentment, ethnic resentment against Slavs, against Russians, against Ukrainians. And so when she graduated from high school, she went to college. She went to Brown University in Providence, Rhode Island, and studied Russian. And then after graduating, she entered the State Department. And at some point, she married into this very famous neocon family, the Kagan family, Robert Kagan, whose father, Donald Kagan, was a professor of classics, you know, Greek history. At Yale University, Robert Kagan is one of the two co-founders of the Project for a New American Century, which is largely thought of as the, you know, the headquarters for planning the Iraq War. But Elena, what's her name? Victoria Nuland, she spent a career at the State Department, had a lot of posts around 2008, she spent a couple of years as the U.S. ambassador to NATO, and during that time was very busy trying to get both Ukraine and Georgia into NATO. Then she became Hillary Clinton's spokesman at the State Department when Hillary Clinton was the Secretary of State. And then in 2013, became the Assistant Secretary of State for European and Eurasian Affairs, which and in that position, she very openly helped plot the Maidan coup. She was often seen and very widely photographed at the demonstrations, which became the Maidan Revolution, the Maidan coup. She was there marching with the protesters. She was handing out bagels or sandwiches or cookies or whatever it was. And also she was photographed, and these photographs were published, I think, in The Independent or The Guardian, one of those newspapers, about 6 weeks before the coup. She was photographed with then Secretary of State John Kerry and then State Department spokeswoman Jen Psaki, who you might remember from early in the Biden administration, and a couple other State Department officials talking to three men. One was Vitaly Klitschko, one was Petro Poroshenko, and the other was Yatsenyuk, Antony Yatsenyuk. And these three men became the mayor of Kiev, the president of Ukraine, and the prime minister of Ukraine. Posted that she had been recorded in a cell phone recording. Said, "Yeah, before the coup happened, she had been recorded saying F the EU." That was what most people remember, the F the EU comment, which she couldn't deny because it was clearly her voice. And she handed out to her staff little buttons, lapel pins, saying "I heart the EU" afterwards because it's such a big joke, but. Also in that conversation, she said she wanted Yatsenyuk to be the prime minister, and she did not want Klitschko in the central government, but she wanted him, you know, working on the sides, you know, outside the central government. So he becomes the mayor of Kiev. And then, of course, Poroshenko went on to become the president. So, I mean, it was clearly she plotted this coup. But the thing about Gonzalo Lira wasn't just saying that she plotted the coup, that she plotted the war. But what was really, really significant was he said she did it because of a Jewish ethnic grudge against the Slavs. And that's a big deal. I mean, because that's what I've been saying. I didn't know her grandfather's, you know, mental illness history. I didn't know that part. But I say I've been saying it's an ethnic grudge because Vladimir Putin had ended the Jewish oligarchic rule over Russia. And he'd been put into power by Jewish oligarchs and then betrayed them. And that's something that the diaspora Jews cannot let, you know, go unaddressed. So they have to destroy him. But at any rate, so my take on this and RT, in their article on his death, quoted him as saying, "Victoria Nuland hates me, or at least that's what I've been told." Victoria Nuland hates my guts. Those were his terms. Hates my guts. And of course she would. And here's the thing. When an American gets in trouble overseas and they get arrested, and I've been involved in I've never been arrested overseas, but I've been involved in situations where somebody I knew was arrested. The State Department gets involved and they try to help smooth the way for the person's release, or at least make sure that, you know, visit the person in custody. It would have been the easy. If you remember that black lesbian basketball player who brought drugs into Russia, and she was arrested, and the State Department was very, very active. In fact, they traded a Russian prisoner in American jail for this Brittany Griner basketball player. And Russia, this was, you know, the same time, this is a year or so ago, they got Brittany Griner out. This was the State Department. This is what they do. It would have been the easiest thing to get Gonzalo Lira, who was born in the United States, he's a U.S. citizen, would have been the easiest thing to get him out, because the Ukraine is practically run out of the State Department. They're wholly dependent on American aid. There's all sorts of American leverage. And they didn't try. And Gonzalo Lira's father was saying they're not trying. You know, they're not trying. And of course, Victoria Nuland knew exactly who Gonzalo Lira was. And at best, she was derelict in her duties and let him die. At worst, she ordered his arrest and assassination. He was tortured to death. He had a collapsed lung from beatings. And, you know, so this, I want there to be an investigation into this. And, you know, this is the type of thing why I wish Victoria Nuland was wearing Chabad Lubavitch clothes. I wish these Jews at the State Department were wearing Chabad Lubavitch clothes. We'd get a lot more people understanding what's really going on if that were the case. I kick it back to you, Mark.
Well, I'm certainly not saying this guy deserved it, but what he did was very, very foolhardy. Now, what you've got to remember here is that the Ukraine is now nothing more than a satellite state of the Judeo-American Empire. And that is an issue. And it's an issue because being a satellite state and not being a central part of something generally means that things can go on within a satellite state that wouldn't go on within the main body of that state. And that's an issue, because I think what Gonzalo Lira hadn't taken into account is that whilst he might be able at the moment to get away with saying things that are, you know, anti the American establishment, if you live in America, you might be able to get away with them at the current time. You can't in a satellite state, especially not a lawless one and one that is at war. There are different rules there. And this is the other thing. I think what happened here in the Ukraine, what happened with Gonzalo Lira, it is really just a window into what it would be like, what the Judeo-American state would want to do to American people on their own soil if they could get away with it. If they could get away with it, this kind of thing would happen on American soil to American civilians. It doesn't at the moment, because they're not at a point where they can get away with that level of brutality yet. But they certainly can in the Ukraine, because not only is the Ukraine this sort of satellite state that is at war, and lots of horrible things, you know, go on when, you know, states are at war, but I think it's fair to say that the Ukraine has been used as basically a breeding ground for, you know, U.S. State Department criminality. It's a place where anything goes, where money gets laundered, where all sorts of nasty things happen. And something very nasty happened to this poor guy. You know, something very nasty happened here. You know, he was beaten, he was tortured, and, you know, the cumulative effects of these beatings and torture, you know, obviously did absolutely, you know, take their toll on this poor man. And eventually his body gave out and he died. But I genuinely think this is one of those things that we should draw inference from. This is the kind of thing that would happen to somebody in America if the Americans, you know, if the American government had the power to do what it wanted to do. You know, we've already seen massive overreach by the American state with the, you know, January the 6th witch hunts and ridiculous. You know, charges being laid down against people for things such as sedition, you know, the way they're treating Donald Trump at the moment. You know, that's a window into what they could do or what they would like to do, the way they would like to treat people. But fundamentally, this is a step further. This is sort of end game. This is where I believe people like Victoria Nuland would like to be, where you could just murder your political opponents. I think that's where these people want to be. And that is fundamentally a situation which you can see unfolding in places like the Ukraine, where America essentially governs, but it governs without any real legislation or oversight. And, you know, I do feel sorry for this man. I feel sorry for his family. I feel sorry for his children. I feel sorry for, you know, feel sorry for them all. But I will say this, this should be an instructive thing to other truth seekers that, you know, going to places like this, or if you're in places like this and a war breaks out, you know, be very, very careful what you say or do, because you can see now that they will go to any lengths to silence people. And this guy, he was making media appearances. I remember he appeared quite famously with George Galloway, you know, former MP George Galloway here in the UK. And he was doing the rounds. He was banging this drum that this war had been basically caused by the American State Department, that America were profiting from this, that there was lots of injustices going on, that, you know, the ethnic Russians in the region weren't these bloodthirsty, warmongering, you know, beast creatures, orcs, as the State Department likes to characterize them. But in fact, there was more nuance to this, and America, you know, and had its part to play. And I remember one point, and this was when, you know, the State Department were really, really trying to drum up a situation where I believe they thought that they could potentially get boots on the ground there. They thought they could get greater Western involvement than transpired. And at the time, they were trying to sort of, you know, paint this picture of Putin more or less flattening the Ukraine, and that, you know, nothing was going to be left unless Western powers acted swiftly. And I remember Gonzalo Lira actually making videos saying, look, this is simply isn't true. If you look at what's really going on, this is absolute fantasy. I'm here in a hotel room, and I remember him filming saying, look, you know, bombs aren't dropping left, right and center. People are going about normal daily life. There's all this Western hysteria. They're looking for more money. This is largely, you know, a Western scam to generate more interest and to get sort of, you know, countries like Germany involved, you know, with their Leopard tanks. And he was doing quite a lot of good work, but obviously this put him at huge, huge risk. And fundamentally, that's why he's dead. And that's why I couldn't endorse doing things like this now, because obviously I don't want to see other truth seekers or other people who are involved in, you know, in our movement. I'm not saying he was a white nationalist. He had been on white nationalist podcasts. So I was on one with him, but I don't want to see people, you know, pay this ultimate price and put themselves in that kind of situation. But that is what he did. And now, unfortunately, he has passed away because of his commitment to telling the truth. And to a large degree, although his actions were reckless, you know, and there is a thin line between being reckless and being brave, he has really exposed to a lot of people, you know, the kind of thuggery that's going on in the Ukraine. And the idea that the Ukraine is this sort of peaceful little nation where everyone was getting along with each other, nothing at all fishy or odd was going on, and then, you know, the evil Vladimir Putin came to ruin the Tea Party and to make everyone's lives a nightmare for no reason other than his own greed and evil. Well, Gonzalo Lira was showing that up, and I think in death he's probably done a lot to, you know, wake a lot of people up, because I've seen this trending all over different sites and different Telegram pages, and, you know, people are, you know, rightfully absolutely disgusted about what happened. Yeah. And obviously my thoughts do go out to his family, but I would urge other people, you know, if you are a truth seeker, if you are somebody who wants to go out and spread the truth, do be careful, because the people you're dealing with, people like Victoria Nulands, the Zelenskys, they might be good at smiling on TV and convincing the people, some of the people, that they're actually there to seek peace and they're standing up against tyranny and all this nonsense. But these people are the real tyrants, and, you know, they have blood on their hands. And if Nuland had wanted to, she could have demanded the immediate release of Gonzalo Lira. He could have been flown back to the US or wherever he came from or wherever he wanted to go. But they did nothing for him. They let him stay in those, you know, in that godforsaken place. And they beat him and beat him and tortured him and tortured him and tortured him. And eventually he died. And the blood's on their hands as much as it is the actual men who killed him, because we know that the people giving the orders, well, we know there's not going to be an investigation to this. No one's actually going to be brought to justice for this. You know, this is the kind of torture and, you know, this is the kind of horror that we're told on a daily basis that Putin and his orcs are carrying out. But here we see...
Tweet the Hannah's beard. From now he always shall be single. To fall in love with boys is weird, especially boys without a tingle. Black Adder, his taste is rather odd. Black Adder, I'll rain.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after exercise. It's amazing, and I ordered my second bottle. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. So far, a great product is what it claims to be. Great product. A few days in and I could feel a difference for certain. Not checking medical stats yet. I know this is really working by how I feel. We'll continue to take this product. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Ease-Off.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
You know, this is the kind of torture and, you know, this is the kind of horror that we're told on a daily basis that Putin and his orcs are carrying out. But here we see that it's not actually Putin and his orcs doing things like that. It's Zelensky and Zelensky's, you know, Judeo-American backed regime, you know, is committing these atrocities. And that is a very, very... that is very, very instructive. And I would say that although it is sad that he's died, I hope that everyone can learn something from this. And, you know, people should obviously be shouting it from the rooftops what's happened, because it's a very, very ugly, unnecessary thing. And for the side that's meant to be the peaceful side, the non-aggressor, doing something like this, well, you know, very, very illuminating and very, very instructive. And hopefully, you know, hopefully he will rest in peace. And I hope that his, you know, wife and children, you know, will get some comfort in the fact that, you know, he died trying to get the truth out.
Well, he tried. He died trying to get the truth out. He died because he got the truth out. And the truth is that this is a Jewish project. And he was very specific about it. This was a Jewish project, that there was a Jewish ethnic grudge. It went. He wasn't limiting it to Victoria Nuland. He talked about it, Anthony Blinken. He talked about others. It was because it was a Jewish project. And that is very unusual. And I hope that in death that it's not whitewashed, that I hope that you don't hear everybody saying, well, this is what happens when you call out the liberals or when you call out the Democrats or the neocons. No, this is what happens. This is what the Jews do to you if they can. I try to be pretty careful. Because I don't think that I've been trying to say Jews are paranoid. Jews do all these crazy things, but it's not because they're personally evil. But it's pretty hard to look at Victoria Nuland now and say that this is anything other than like she killed this guy. Anyway, we're running up to the end of the time that we have, but I want to thank you for joining me. Hey, what's on tap for the for your shows this week?
Well, today, unfortunately, one of my good comrades and friends, Sam Melia, he's on trial for designing stickers, not for putting stickers up, for designing stickers, which said things such as, you know, White Lives Matter, etc. And that is an absolute scandal. So we wish him all the best. But I'll be back on Wednesday for another episode of Patriotic Weekly Review. And the guest for that show is a guy called Thomas 777. He's somebody that has been requested by my audience. So I've never done a show with him before, so I'm very much looking forward to that. And I've got a couple of videos out that you can watch. We did a film review on Sunday evening of a film which is much beloved by British people called Zulu. And I've also got my weekly video out. And my weekly video is a video on the Jewish tunnel incident. So you can go and watch all of those. They're on my BitChute and my Odyssey.
Sounds great. Well, thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
And I'll be back again tomorrow with Don Advo from Stormfront in a very exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
You won't admit you love me, and so how am I ever to know? You always tell me.
People who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs. For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network.
Because you can handle the truth.